Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery Sr., is the host. From time to time, we engage invited guests as our experts in various disciplines of study, as well as, most importantly, you, our listening audience, and provocative conversations. Additionally, the show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. During the last episode of Talk Straight, the discussion focused on the male growth process. Details of the developmental process of becoming a father were shared with the listening audience. This episode will specifically deal with the making of a man. I'm happy to share with all of you and invite you to join us live in this conversation, particularly so if you are a woman who may not understand or have a different view. I want to hear from you. We welcome that respectfully. The number is 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. Even if you just want to say amen, that'll be all right too. We're going to have our regular panelists on, Pastor Ricky Waller, who has been laboring with us in our effort to really mobilize and get out since we started the educational lecture series. Having said that, we're going to now go to our monologue for our new listeners. We have about a 10 to 15 minute monologue, and then that gives us some context for our conversation. And the reference tonight, the resource that we're using is a book that I authored in 2006 entitled Let Us Make a God Am Man, Antidotes for the Identity Crisis of the African Male. So we'll be speaking from that largely, and we also will entertain someone who really understands what it means to be a man, too, of such persons online and on air tonight. Most importantly, we welcome you to join us in our discussion. The number again is 657-383-0944. 1-800-273-0944. If you're listening on Facebook, feel free to respond to our questions, threads, and join us. Call us. Give us a call tonight. We'll be glad to hear from you. If you don't just do anything but just call and wave your hands, say hello to us. We'll be happy to entertain you. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get to our monologue, and then we can open up our phone lines for discussion. It's August 24th, 2017. Again, the topic is simply, let us make man. Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 and 27 reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." To fully appreciate the divine purpose or essence of a man, perhaps the most important fact to consider is that, as alluded to in the above text, man is an expression of a divine thought from creation. That thought was concerned with extending the presence of Yehovah Elohim, or in the English, the Lord God, in the earth continuously. The inference is that God desired that man possess his unique spiritual qualities and physical makeup. Essentially, man represented a mechanism by which the Creator would continue to manifest his will in the cycle of creation. More than just a mere physical form of matter, man existed as a supernatural force with the capability of expressing itself continuously. Every man fights a battle within himself. The scrimmage is between his higher self and his lower self. Most often, the best of people fall prey to their own weaknesses. They're not aware of the reasons for their behavioral flaws. Because of a lack of knowledge, it is not the spiritual self alone that is out of balance, but the natural self as well. For the sake of understanding the mechanical nature of man, let us consider the five essential parts of the man. Five parts consist of head, the trunk, arms, legs, and reproductive organs. Please consider the notion of man being divided into two primary schisms. The first schism being the upper torso, consisting of the head, arms, and chest. The second schism being the lower torso, which consists of the loins and the legs, feet. The upper torso is synonymous to his control center, while the lower torso is synonymous to his potential for expansion and movement. By use of control and expansion, it is meant to address volitional functions. In the context of higher spiritual function, the five extensions are thus explained. It is the center of divine knowledge and instruction. The trunk houses the word of instruction from his Creator and guides the vital function of the motivation, will, and being of man. The arms enable him to reach out to his fellow man and all within his domain. His legs allow him to be mobile as a vessel for the Creator, always ready to go on an errand for the Lord. And lastly, through holy matrimony with his wife, he recycles life in the earth via reproduction or procreation. Now, in the context of a more natural, the lower natural function, the five extensions are explained thusly. The head houses the brain naturally in the nerve center with a spinal cord that goes all the way down. It sends messages to and from the various parts of the body. The trunk houses the heart and the most vital parts of man. It is the depot of man's basic functions. The arms allow him to manipulate matter within his reach. Man's leg serves as his natural transportation, which enables him to move from one location to another. Lastly, the reproductive organs allows man to extend himself to another generation via sexual reproduction. Now, contrary to widespread belief among many people about what a man is, he is not just an animalistic being or operates like a dog, capable of only reacting to physical urges or impulses. The latter description is most applicable to the nature of a male, as we discussed on last Tuesday, who has not yet grown to know of his control over the flesh. Now, briefly, let me just bring in this expert on what a man is, and then we're going to open up phone lines, and I want to hear from y'all. Right quickly, just for a minute or so, let's hear from the expert here. Number 657-330-944. Get in where you fit in. Happy to introduce to our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. We got 1080 and 1098 with us tonight, gentlemen. Peace, and how y'all doing this evening?
All right. How's everybody going? How's everybody doing?
Great. Listen, Pastor Waller, I'm sorry, 1098, were you about to say something?
Oh, no, I'm just saying good evening.
Okay, all right, good evening, sir. Pastor Waller, I listened to James Brown. He's not a preacher, not a pastor, not a bishop, not a clergy, but was he in the book or what? Was he in that book or what?
Man, he's carrying a message, I know that. Yeah. Sound like he dove in there. And he said something that was pretty heavy, because that's just a reminder of what the Bible does say. You love to do things decently and in order. You know, Paul said that you do things decently and in order. And I think there's nothing wrong with knowing a man's position in life, and likewise for the woman. You know, however, it just don't work like that today for some reason. I think that once you become separated from truth, you know, it causes a bunch of confusion. And so
yes.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, correction is good, man. And I think it's just one of the most tough things for me in life was to be able to know corrections doesn't feel good in the beginning.
Okay.
But it's good
okay.
for you, especially when it's truth.
Yes,
so, you know, there's a lot of things that's outside of truth right now that's causing, again, for one to not respect other men, and likewise, again, the woman. So good information, brother.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I listened to him, and I said, man, listen to that Jim. Jim done start preaching. He said, when he said that my Bible said that Norm Mason, that boy been dipping off in that book, man. I thought,
yeah. Had to tap into it, you know, to know that.
I thought he was a Godfather soul. He is off in that book, 1098. What are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah. You know, he is Zaman, you know. I mean, you know, like he was being philosophical, you know. I mean,
yes, he was.
This is how we learn, you know. We're all philosophical when it's over with, you know. I mean, he examined the book, and, you know, like Socrates, you know. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it like Socrates did. What did Socrates say? Hey, y'all in jail me, gonna kill me? No, I'm dragging this boy in here. And then what he said, an unexamined life is not worth living. He ended himself then. Okay, let me be quiet.
All right.
Let me shut up.
Charles, growing up in Chicago, I had the occasion, Charles, growing up in Chicago, to see a lot of winos, people that get drunk a whole lot, right? And some of them can be real mild-mannered man and laid back, but when they get that juice in a man, they inner man come out, and they become right philosophical. They come up with some deep stuff, man. Interestingly enough, when I wrote the book in 2006, we had began the Fatherhood Development series, and we were trying to speak to a issue. And that was the issue of the lack of responsible fatherhood and fatherlessness that many children were facing. And I realized that you can't talk about fathers until you first talk about being a man. But it raised the question, how do you get one to be a man? I was talking about myself first. And I discovered that there are a lot of misunderstandings about what manhood really is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me be quiet. Let you finish your thoughts.
I'm saying I agree. I know it's myself. You know, this is a young generation out here. You know, it's kids having kids, and we all ought to been through as is. And now we got young parents out here, so it's lost knowledge, lost teaching. I grew up a certain way. You know, I don't see the same discipline out here. There's a lot of stuff that's changed. But yeah, you go ahead.
Well, I'm going to pose this question to the panel here and to our listening audience. Y'all feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. If somebody told you you had some gal in you, would that make you mad? Anybody?
Well.
Anybody.
Oh, God. Me first. Who you want to go, Reverend Wallace?
Go ahead, Reverend Wallace.
Man, I mean, you say with a person get mad?
Yeah, but if I thought you had
You know,
go
see,
ahead,
the fine. Thing about that is, you know, those fighting words. You know, there was a fighting word. You understand? Saying it could be that or someone, you know, could be humble enough to know that he's a man before the one even spoke it out of his mouth. And, you know, you never know the situation that brings forth. But
I see.
I myself personally, I'm not going to tell no man that he's got some girl in him or some gal in him because I seem to be a man. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with what he out there doing. You know, you was created. What you call yourself? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say, you know, man, why they going around here saying that you're a man in a woman's body and all that other kind of stuff. That's how you know what he was doing. So, you know, people choose to do what they choose to do, but yet still, you're a man. I don't care how you try to twist it up and fix it up and just saying, you know, and that's just.
Wow.
Pastor, I don't mean to cut you off. Let me just say to the listening audience, excuse me for laughing, but there's a message to this madness. I asked that for a reason. I asked that for a reason. But go ahead, Pastor. Finish your thought.
You say that again.
Yeah, I said, go ahead and finish your thought. I just wanted to explain that I asked that question for a reason, and we're going to get to it. But go ahead and finish your thought, Pastor.
Right, and I think it's important, though, for real, man, because a lot of times, you know, they got those nicknames, those cliches and things like that for what a person is when they call them, you know, just name so many things. It's just like naming some drugs. They got all kind of names for them. You know, but when you really get down to it, I just called a drug what I called it, and I called it a destroyer. So, you know, if as a man, man, I just seem to be a man, and sometimes, you know, when you get information like I tapped off into the Bible and got, it was just a reminder of something that broke me down, that made me feel real bad when I discovered what a man really, really, really was all about, man. So, you know, I'm learning more and more each day that just because I put on a pair of pants, you understand what I'm saying, that I see today make a person, quote, a man, because the women are putting on pants today. And, and you know, it's sad to say that some are acting like they're men, and some men are acting like they're women. You know what I'm saying? So that's confusion, man. That's confusion, brother. Believe me.
Yeah, they'll tell you they're just as much a man as you are. I've heard them say it. Some, not all of them. I've heard some say that I'm as much a man as you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, brother. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough out here, especially when you have learned the Word of God and you humbly say that. You know, it's not nothing egotistical about it. But when you look into the book of Romans and you see what it says right there and and how they've turned the word of God, you know, from truth to a lie, man, that's pretty deep, brother. You know,
All right.
That means
I got you.
That means some women can...
I got you. Let me get Outcast to weigh in and Brother Charles, perhaps, if he will. Outcast, what do you think about it, man? If somebody told you got some gale in you, would you be upset with it?
Okay, may I come from a philosophical standpoint and try to put me a deductive syllogism in there, my two premises and my conclusion? May I do that?
Give us what you got.
Okay, my first premise is this. Okay, he said I got girl in me. Okay, you say I have girl in me because I am a man, okay? You are a man, so therefore, you have girl in you.
What?
You know, there's a conclusion, you know, the premise and the conclusion. You say, now I'm a man. You say, okay, Bobby. Bobby said I'm a man and I have girl in me. Bobby is a man, so he have girl in him. Where does that go from there? Roman Dogger?
Okay, all right.
The conclusion is this.
Point. Okay.
The conclusion is this: if he said that I got girl in me and I'm a man, he's a man, so therefore he have girl in him. That's a conclusion, which that would be far way out of bounds for him to, I guess, purely understand. But sometimes people call what they are. You know, this is the way I look at it. They call what they are. You know, I mean, what are you hiding? You know, you say I have female in me. No, I'm 100% man. You know, what are you hiding? I can look in your eyes and tell something is wrong, but I don't go that route.
Okay.
Let me be quiet.
Okay. All right. Charles, you want to weigh in right quickly, brother?
I kind of got both points of views on both sides, so I'm kind of, you know, I'm trying to see where we're going with it at this point.
All right. Let me bring it on home. Now, you heard in the monologue, Genesis, the first chapter in the 27th verse. Let me read again. So God, in his own image, in the image of God created he him, semicolon, male and female created he them. Watch this. A brother that's offended by somebody saying he got some gale may not really know what it means to be a man. What the text is inferring here is that God intended for man to function as one, male and female. Jesus said, what God has put together, let no man pull asunder. It's God's will that the masculine and feminine portion work as one unit. No more two, but one. Perhaps the problem is we got many good brothers who want to be men, but they hadn't reached the full potential or their fullest capacity because they haven't found in the Hebrew their bresheta or their soulmate, the completion of themselves. Give me feedback. Give me feedback.
Anybody? Reverend Wild, you want to take that?
Yeah, I don't mind, man. I mean, because I'm going to deal with it according to truth, you know. And I love the fact that I, once upon a time, didn't know any better. Didn't know I was just living the street life and had no knowledge about the Bible at all. But once I came into the knowledge, wisdom, and the understanding of it from my reading now, and I'm not saying that because I think I know something or I feel like I know something. I'm just going to go according to what it says, okay? Oh, if you don't mind, according to the book of Romans, chapter 1,
what
it states in verse number 20, you know, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that they are, again, without excuse, okay? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they tell me right there some things is getting ready to happen. I know when a person trusts in his own heart, he's a fool.
Right.
You see? And that's what I understand now. And then, you know, if you don't want to be a fool, you have to be able to stand correction. You see, there's nothing wrong with it. Say, okay, once upon a time I was a fool. I'm not here pretending like I'm not. And when you discover that you're not that and you change, you know, thank God that you did. But when one realized that they are doing something like that, they heard that they were having men with men and women with women, you know, things like that, he said he just turned them over to a reprobate mind, man. So they can go ahead and do things that they wanted to do themselves. So it's a lot of people that don't know anything about the Bible. So they're living life and they're choosing to live life and they're doing what they want to do. So am I going to fault them or blame them? I'm not going to do it. But I know one thing, if you need to be told what's wrong with telling truth, therefore to make reconsider and say, hey, you mean tell me that God don't like that? You know? And come around, you never know. You see what I'm saying? So this topic and this subject tonight, you know, you never know what person may find out themselves that didn't know that that was in the Bible, that really love God, don't understand God's will for them, and suddenly change takes place. Because that's what I like about it. I like when change takes place, when one says, man, I used to be like that, but I'm not like that no more, you know.
There you go.
Because I'm around here being something that I wasn't. And that to me, man, is devastating, because it's in the Word of God. It's a whole lot more to do with it, but I don't want to read a, you know, the duration of it. But it's in there, man. They chose to be that way. I can't get with that. I was born like that. I don't get with that, man. You know.
Well, now
I was born junkie.
Yeah.
You know, let me say this. I'm a literary. I was not born a junkie. I was born as I was. I chose to use drugs. And then when I discovered, when I discovered how to get free from them, I got free from drugs. So I'm no longer that anymore. I used to be a drug user. You know? So it's a few things. I like that part. And I'm trusting that someone may benefit from this subject tonight.
All right. And, Pastor, thank you.
I had to clear my mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I want to be very clear to our listening audience. The focus tonight is not to beat up on anyone who may consider themselves a homosexual or transgender or anything like that. The focus is about making a man, okay? And let's understand what a man is. When you leave tonight, that's what I want you to understand. And you can make your own choices. I like what Pastor Walker said. You take the information, and the truth can make you free. however you're bound. I heard Jesus say, you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll
make you free.
So I'm trying to free somebody tonight. I'm not trying, it's not my place to put you in heaven or hell. I'm just trying to give you some information that you can base, make a logical conclusion on. Is that fair enough? All right, having said that, go ahead, Alcat. What were you going to say, brother?
Well, you know, like I say, Web, see, Reverend Dockery, you text me back to school. You bring back a lot in me that I studied in the past.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned
okay.
syllogisms and things of that nature, premise, things of that nature. I state this. All men are mortal. Reverend
okay.
Waller is a man. So, therefore, uh-huh. Reverend Waller is a mortal. Going back to someone saying that I have gas in me. Well,
mm-hmm.
in my reproductive organs, of course. I got males and females. whichever one hit first.
I
try to look at it, you know, somewhat in a different aspect. I try not
okay.
to respond in a way that a lot of people would like for me to respond. Normally, when you say something like that to a man and he called himself a man, the first thing he want to do
is
get angry and dog pistols and knuckles and things
right.
of that nature. Sometimes you have
right.
to think outside of the box, and this is what I try to
right.
do, you know. But, you know, last week, as I stated, when I became a man, when I took a wife and went to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, paid like gas and water, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Took care of my children, you know, all of their needs. This is when
all
I became
right.
a man. And all I became right. a poor man when I accepted God.
Mm.
And I hope.
Okay.
I hope.
Okay. All right, that's a great segue into our next. Let me do this. And when we come back, I want to thank you for setting that up, Alcat. The question that will be on the floor, what is a man's greatest challenge? What is a man's greatest challenge? And that kind of relates to what we've been talking to the last 30 minutes or so. But when we come back from after this this brief break, we're gonna pick it up, okay? The number is 657-383-0944. If you're listening, don't hesitate. Give us a holler.
Hello, listening audience.
Oh, you're
thank
correct.
You for
yeah, both
in
female down.
And being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669. Or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Make them happy, because me, make them joy.
You're listening to Straight Talk. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful to have you tonight on this August 24th evening, and to have with us again in-house Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist, and Brother Outcast out of Nashville, Tennessee, and Brother Charles has joined us. You're welcome to join us as well, wherever you are in the world. 657-383-0944. We welcome and respect your question, your comments. When we left before the break, put the question on the floor, what is a man's greatest challenge? And our panelists had kind of hit that because they talked about the anger and the uncomfortableness, the frustration a male may have if someone told him he got galling. But we share with you from Genesis, from the beginning of creation, we learned that Elohim, God, made man male and female. One whole man has male and female in him. I submit to you that perhaps the greatest challenge that a male who has not reached his fullest potential yet has is knowing how to balance his spiritual purpose and function with the impulses of his flesh. Now, what you mean by that, Doctor? I mean that quite often there are things in life that pushes our buttons, that may cause us to be angry, that may cause us to be uncomfortable. And many people, when they start a family with a female, they get up and run because they can't handle the pressure. They can't deal with the frustration and to be able to deal with the issues there. So they leave, woman and children and everything, right? But they still want the title being a man. Still want the title being a man. Here's the question. How can we empower them with information as to how to balance it? Now, I'll tell you this one thing. In marriage, what it really is, it is a commitment on part of man that he is going to take the woman that God gave him and he's going to fulfill God's purpose for him. And it's a commitment on part of the woman, the female, that she's going to be a helpmate to that male in carrying out God's will for him. Feedback, gentlemen. Give me some feedback.
You're correct. I mean, that's all that I can say on that is you're correct. Go ahead, Reverend Waller.
Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, it would be beautiful to be able to say, hey, man, common sense, you know, that would be outstanding, you know. And I would be the first to say, man, I didn't know at one point. And the more I get knowledge from the Bible, the more I appreciate knowing that change is possible for those who are outside of the will of God who really don't know. Because I didn't come up dealing with the Bible when I grew up, if I can just be honest with you. So I knew nothing about the Bible and everything. I just knew of seeing and hearing people call people this and that and other sisters and things like that, you know. You should hear that kind of talk coming up. You know, but this is something that we should be able to do is to be honest about where we are. So let me share this, you know, to kind of keep in mind that the change is definitely possible. And someone may be caught up into that right now, man, just because it's a going thing, because it's more prevalent today than ever. I mean, it's displayed, you know, very much. And one may not even know or have no awareness that it's in the Bible, and God does not really like it. You understand? When it says here, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Then it goes further to say, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Man, who do something like that and knowing the truth, knowing that this and then just on purpose, because they know a lot of people don't know nothing about it, and then they just automatically just change it as if I'm ruling the world, so we're going to change the truth into a lie, and a lot of people are lying to the lie, unbeknown that God doesn't even like that. And these people have a love for God, I bet. So check this out. Then it says, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. And then it says, amen. You see? And so I like to just put emphasis on it, if you don't mind, about how powerful it is, man, to just see that when he says, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was needed. Now, think about this, though. He says, leaving the natural use for the woman and start hooking up with one another. Could you imagine the power of not knowing? And I bet a lot of people don't even know it is in the Bible, man. So you can't really blame them. At least I wouldn't, because I was so twisted in life, man, I couldn't point my finger at nobody. But I can appreciate truth. If I was out there caught up in anything and someone brought me truth, I would appreciate it, even if it hurt. Okay. At least I know, you know what I mean, that they brought me truth, man.
Right.
You know, because truth does not feel good in the beginning. It actually hurts, man. That's called God correction. Godly correction, man, is a powerful tool. So I have really compassion on when I see and hear things like that. So I refuse to call them guys what they're not and them women what they're not, you know, even though they got names for it out there, man. But I refuse. I guess as a result of what I've learned, I just refuse to do that. So I like to just keep hope alive and believe that someone, man, as we assemble tonight, would be able to say, but I didn't do that. I have a love for God. I'm getting ready to go check myself. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in the location and, you know how I say, examine yourself?
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
realize it may be the going thing, but now I don't feel right about it anymore. So you have to learn how to get in your lane and realize it's the personal thing. Now I want to get in a better relationship with God. I just heard him talking about it tonight, and you never know who'll do something about it, man. So that's where I'm at with it.
Okay.
You
know,
it's in the Bible.
Okay. Now, were you going to say something there, Outkast?
I just want to hear from Brother Charles. You know, get his
Charles,
input
you got anything?
If you don't answer.
You want to weigh in, Brother Charles?
I mean, y'all coming from the Word of God. I'm just listening. I mean, I got my own personal opinion, but I can't even weigh my opinion up against stuff from the Word of God. I know how to know. You just can't stand nothing goes past the Word of God. So that, I mean, I'm just listening at this point.
Okay, I understand. Feel free. I'm sorry. Feel free at any point to interject, though. So, Pastor Waller, you're absolutely right, sir. And the side where individuals, males, hook up with males, certainly there's a lesson to be learned there. But let's strike the balance here. When you got a male who runs through 1,000 females and he can't be happy with one female, what's his problem? He's still stuck in his lower self, in his flesh. He has not reached that point where the spirit of truth is guiding him so that he can be settled down with one woman to fulfill God's purpose. Now, I had an incident where, as a pastor, a lady came to me. Says that her son was struggling with his sexual identity. And she said that he wants to come to me, but he's afraid that I might judge him and beat up on him. Okay?
All right.
So I explained to her that that is not the focus. As long as he's interested in understanding himself, you know, I've only been here for a short period of time relatively in the world, but the Word of God has existed for a long time, and it changed not. So my job is to help him find himself in the Word and let him grow in grace and do what he has to do to improve himself. And that's the same way I look at anyone else, even if they identify themselves by something other than being a man. If you're walking, now people don't... Y'all remember what I told you Tuesday, don't you? Everybody ain't trying to go to heaven, right? I told y'all that. Everybody ain't trying to live. Didn't I tell y'all that?
Yes, sir.
Y'all remember me saying that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Everybody, so we reserve, Pastor Walker, information and truth for those who are interested in it. It's no need of trying to talk to a brick wall. You understand what I'm saying? Because a brick wall won't hear you.
Exactly. Yes, sir. There's nothing wrong with information, man. I think we need more of it in many areas. And, you know, as I said, you know, if a person, you know, from, again, from only experiencing it myself, I didn't know the value of a woman, you know, for many years of my life. Thought I did, but I didn't.
Right.
So, I got a question, too, though. I know we focus on the man.
Hold your question, John. Go ahead. Hold your question.
I know we focus on the man a lot, but sometimes, I know the word, let's say a man found a woman, he found a great thing. But at the same time, you got to, a woman got to be a woman out here for a man to recognize a woman. You know what I'm saying? So you can run through 1,000 women. I mean, it's 1,000 women that's not women out here in today's time, in my opinion. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
I don't look at the woman through the women as a lack of or a whoremonger on a man. It's just, what type of woman is out here? Because a woman control a lot of our reality. A man do a lot for a woman out here. So it'd be better men if it was better women. What's kind of hand-in-hand out here? It's going to be hard on the men out here.
No. Our intention is not to be hard on men. That's not the intention. But it's to instruct males how to become men. That's what the focus is. Go ahead. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, no, woman is confusing. I mean, I'm just going to stick to what it really is, man. You're supposed to be with a woman. A man just not supposed to be with a man. I mean, you can be laws or whatever all day. I'm staying firm into a man. It just ain't right, man. Something is definitely wrong, man. I mean, it's something wrong with it. All day, every day. I can't make that a right thing, as a man being with a man. It's never going to be like it in my book. It's my opinion or whatever, but I just thought it's supposed to be, man.
Gotcha. Great point. Right. So Charles, I like what you, in terms of focusing on the role of woman in man. She is a vital part of making man whole. If she is out of order. Now, there was a singer that says you making it easy for the cleanup woman. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I remember that.
Betty Wright said, when a woman is out of order, she make it easy for the cleanup woman to take her man's love. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? So what am I saying? I'm saying simply that everybody's got a place and a role. When we're out of place, both the male and the female, man dies. Let me say that one more time. Man, dies when male and female are not working in concert with one another.
Like that.
Now, I looked up in the Hebrew, because that's where the scripture was first written in Hebrew, the ancient language. I looked up the word male. And I found 4242 Zalkar, which means to remember. I said, remember what? To be mindful of what Elohim created man for and what his function was. And that was to carry out the creation plan. Now, God could have left him just like that as a male, but he said in the second chapter of Genesis, man ain't complete. Now, let me put him to sleep. Let me knock him out cold, out, guys. And let me take the best part of him out. And when he got through with man, man woke up hollering, whoa, man, what's that? Well, that was woman. That was the best part of him. Then he became complete. But we've got to learn. I said we, didn't I? Didn't I say we, Pastor Wallace?
That's the order, brother.
Yes, sir. We've got to learn how to properly use what we got. And if you don't know, it's all right. It's all right if you don't know. Just try to go find out. That's all.
Yeah, that goes back to this point right here, is that when you don't know, it's one thing. Because, again, where it does say, it's better not to have known the way of righteousness. That's what he said. So in all my ignorance, he knew I didn't know no better.
My Lord.
You see, so I understand that. But I also would love to say, if you have this type of information and you withhold it from me, it makes me wonder, do you really care? You see what I'm saying? Because the only thing about truth that I've learned is that it will make you free.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah. It would be without an excuse. You see, that's the part that I like, you know, about life in areas mm-hmm. of my life. You know, when I got that type of information, I came up with, man, you don't even have no excuse now. You see? And see, when you get that type of information, man, you want to learn to appreciate it, and that's what I've done. So I would just think, you know, and imagine, man, how many people would probably love the truth, good information, where, you know, in preparation, whatever they may be doing right now concerning the issue that we're talking about, and they get to thinking, you know, to themselves that, man, but I got to do something about this. I got to do something so I can change this. Because it's a changeable thing. See, some things are not changeable. You know, like I was captured. I was caught up. Wasn't nothing I could do about that. I can't change that. That happened. But what I can change is when I get some information to help me. You know, you know, it talks about in Hebrews when they talk about let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need, right? So let's just say I need some help. And then I've brought it to the throne. You know, in other words, I'm taking it to someone who know about me, the Almighty God. The Almighty God know everything about me. So I was told that I can just come to him just like I am, and he won't leave me the same way. I mean, that's good information. Let me take a chance and try that. So if someone say, I've been like this for many years of my life, they don't have nothing to do with it. If you didn't know any better, I can understand you being like that for many years of your life.
Sure.
What about what a difference a day make? Oh, man, it's amazing how much information, man, can be brought forth and change many lives in just a moment, because it does say in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's how fast change can take place, man.
No, that's
you know?
It. That's it.
And so,
that's
you know, that's where the hope is to me, is to know that it's a lot of bold people, man, that's in life, that has been given an instruction that it's okay to be something that you're really not.
Okay. I want to.
That's it. Go ahead.
Pastor, you make a great point.
Go ahead.
Charles, let me say this, Charles. Let me share this with you, Charles. I was, I guess, about 8 years old when my dad and mother separated, right? And prior to him separating, you know, he gave us a lot of instruction, man. We learned a lot from him, right? And one of the things he told me, Charles, is that don't play with the light socket because you'll get shot and it'll hurt you. Well, after he left, I decided I was going to put that to a test, Charles. I unscrewed a light bulb. I unscrewed a light bulb and stuck my finger in a light.
Oh, man.
Boy, ain't nobody got to tell me, man, what electricity will do to you no more. I know that's the truth. See, that's a reality right now.
Okay.
And I said that to say this. I said that to say this. There are a lot of good people who just don't know the reality of what's really going on until they have someone to bring it to them and they learn it for themselves. And here's the reality. Here's the truth. The man will grow up in darkness without the light of righteousness. He'll always be trying to find himself. There are people with advanced degrees, PhDs and MDs and LDs and law degrees and what have you, and some of them are filthy rich and wealthy, you know, and they're still trying to find themselves. They're still trying to figure out what is my purpose. Yeah. What is my purpose?
I mean, to be told, I think everybody in life is certain, but I don't think it's certain people. No, I don't know nobody who's not looking for that out here, honestly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Who truly know themselves for real entirely?
Watch it now. Can I answer that for you? Man, I'm eager, Charles. I'm anxious to answer that for you.
Go ahead, Charles. I'm saying that's my daily mission, man, in search of what my role and God wants for me to have for my life.
Right.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
To reveal that everyday search.
Yeah, Charles?
And he said something right there now. He said he's willing to learn.
He did.
His purpose.
Look, Pastor. We got something now. We got something here, Pastor. We got something here. Charles, can I suggest to you humbly Can I if a male wants to identify himself and his purpose, watch this. I'm gonna go real basic now. And I shared this in a Bible study. There were two children in the bathtub, a male and a female. They were two cousins. And they were playing, they had bubble baths in the tub. As the bubble bath began to dissipate and clear up, they can see through the water. The little girl reached over and said, "Ooh, what's that?" And she plucked the little boy's thing between his legs. He said, "Uh-uh, leave it alone. You broke yours off already."
Oh, man. Okay.
So what we find ourselves is just like little bit children trying to figure out what's that we got. Elohim made man with the ability to reproduce as a male and female with the ability to reproduce as a female so that they can fulfill function and reality. It says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Carry out the word spoken at the beginning of creation. That's what man's function is. If you want to be successful in anything you do, I'm going to give you a formula. This ain't going to cost you nothing. I ain't going to charge you for that. Make sure whatever you seek first, it give God praise. Second, make sure that it serves a public or human need. And lastly, that you're able to take care of yourself when you get through. That's an entrepreneur right there. That's a business right there.
Right.
But what we have not found is what is our gift and talent that is unique to us. You understand? It is in the Word of God that we find ourselves. That's how we find ourselves.
Yeah, everybody's supposed to be preachers then. Sound like me.
What you say? What you say, Tom? You just discovered something, Charles. You just discovered. Even James Brown was a preacher. Did you hear what James Brown said? He said he got in that Bible and he discovered something. And guess what he was doing? He was proclaiming the truth. That's all a preacher is, one that proclaims the truth. Our life is a message, a proclamation of truth we walk out of the studio.
I'm getting back in the studio. I'm going back to the studio and Brown to preach. I got my generation of people in the studio.
Look here, Charles. Hey, Charles, let me show you something. What most males run away from is the calling that God has on their life to proclaim His truth. That's the fight that they have. And they look
for... Hey, dude, you absolutely...
Yeah.
Because the more you search for it, get to digging, you get lost sometimes. You know, I understand exactly what you're saying. But, yeah, but people run from it. That's a big responsibility. If you don't understand what he's saying, your job description is, because you'll start thinking about what man is telling you how to do out here, and you ain't listening to God.
Watch out,
so. Confusing, man. But I'm fine. I'm glad you said something about that. That's very true. If you knew it, you wouldn't run. But if you try to pretend to be too perfect, you'll be discouraged.
You're trying to go before
your time. He'll get you there. It's like he got you. To the, you know, it ain't gonna light. It's a process.
That's it.
And that's no excuse either. It is a process.
Right. Absolutely. Pastor Waller, I think he's trying to sneak a preacher in, man.
There's a joy in what he said, too. I mean, that's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Meaning, I know you don't know no better. You know,
right.
So here I'm extending an invitation for you to learn of me. You see, and that's why you take humble people to be willing to learn. It's just like when the students show up, the teacher will appear. Being willing to learn, that was me. I was ignorant and unlearned. And the first thing I did was raise my hand and admit it. I know I don't know anything. You know?
Yeah.
So I can't see how you even have me on your mind. But yet still, that lets you know that, you know, that he's bigger in thoughts than I myself am. And that's what I had to do. And I like how Charles put that because, you know, that's what being humble is all about, man. You know, and I thank God for an opportunity to be able to look back and say, man, had it not been for that, if I had thought I I knew this and that and the other one I really didn't know, I would have been pretending to be something that I'm not. He said you would only deceive yourself when you do that. And so I always kept it real simple and made sure that just because a person got there before I did didn't mean I'm not going to learn anything. I just don't know it now. You know, I was like that. I'm going to say this, because it gave me a chance to look back. I remember when my pastor getting ready to preach the word, and I didn't have a Bible, but I'm sitting up there with guys that had the Bible.
Okay.
And when it was time for him to preach the word of God, they all turned and faced him and pulled out their Bible. And when he said something about chapter and verse, they turned to it. And here go me with my ignorance. I don't even know what to do. I'm stuck. You see what I'm saying? But I had something stronger than the Bible in my hand.
Right.
And I had the willingness to hear, because the word says faith cometh by hearing.
By hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. So I was able to hear what he said, and that's what caused me to learn of what I heard. You know, where I believe that he should have been, feeding me, and actually he really was. One may say, don't listen to the preacher. What you mean? I mean, he's a preacher. I suppose I listen to him. That's what I was thinking. And sure enough, I'm glad I did listen to the preacher, because he led me to get a relationship with God for myself. And so it's amazing, man, to look back over that and to say that many people right now probably have a hunger and a thirst that's honest, that don't want to pretend, and they're just the way they are. That's why you find them in the streets, you know, not trying to pretend. You know, you find them in the street being just as they are, and that's what the real is, man. The real people out in the real world, man, they're keeping it real. And then to get up into the church and then you have that masquerade, man, that's a terrible thing to me. You know what I mean? From my experience. So when I walked in the building, my brothers, I let it be known I was ignorant. I don't know nothing. I don't even know what to do. I'm going to sit down in this chair. I don't know if I should supposed to sit down or I'm supposed to stand up. I don't know what to do. I'm here. But I'm here, you know.
Okay.
And, it's amazing, man. It's amazing truth, what truth can do.
We're about under that 30-minute mark. I got one question I want to bring before the panel. But before I do that, Charles, let me share this with you, because you struck a nerve tonight, brother. I don't know if you realize that. Here's the first example that I can recall. Somebody can show me another, and I'd be happy to learn. But that I can recall when man was dishonest with himself, Charles, was in the garden, third chapter of Genesis, when the text said, the Spirit of God called Adam and told Adam to present himself before him. And Adam said, wait, hold up, man. I ain't ready. My clothes ain't right. I need to put some on. Then he asked him, Adam, who told you you were naked? Watch this, Charles. The first instinct of Adam was to tell a lie. And you know what he did, Adam? You know what he did, Charles? He hollered, but you know that woman you gave me? You know that woman you gave me? He didn't give the woman instruction. He gave Adam instruction. But the first thing he did was to lie on the woman.
Yeah.
Because he did not want to accept the fact that his flesh, his lower self, caused him to step out of the will of God and to fall from grace. When we learn how to overcome the flesh, that lower self, and get into that higher self, that spiritual walk with God, we can control the flesh then. I like what Pastor Wallace said. There was a time when drugs and his flesh had that appetite, but one day he decided, I'm going to take control over this flesh, this carnal man, and we're going to walk right with God. We're going to walk right with God.
That's right.
Okay. Let me do this. Hold your thought, Pastor. When we come back, the question I want to ask Outkast when we come back is, can a woman make you do anything? Did y'all get the question? The question is, can a woman make you do anything?
You do it wait for the last 30 minutes.
The number is 657-383-0944. 657. Listen, we got about less than 30 minutes. Get in on this while you can. Let's get this, and then we're going to answer that question together. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is Reverend Dockery. The number 657-383-0944. There's still time for you to get in. Outcast.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Now, I don't believe Percy Sledge was a preacher, but was he preaching then? Can a woman make a man do anything?
Well, some men. It depends on the man himself.
What?
You know, I mean, if he's a weak man, yes. If he's a strong man, no. What it is. I'm telling the truth. Some men, you know, all men are not the same. A weak man, yes, can be manipulated. Who was that, Samson and Delilah? Cut your hair.
That's interesting you use Samson.
Pardon me?
Wow. That's interesting you use Samson. Samson was a Nazarite. He took a special vow to God that he wouldn't take a woman and he wouldn't partake in anything that would make him weak. In fact, he let his hair grow long and strong so he can be strong in his will to doing what God called him to do. But guess what happened? Delilah got him trapped.
That's right.
And when she got him trapped, the reality was God made him with a libido to respond to certain urges and desires. Are you walking with me?
Right.
Now,
oh, yes,
now he wasn't. Adam got trapped when Eve got that direction from the serpent and brought it to Adam. Adam's volitions and desires rose up in him. Amen. Somebody.
Exactly.
You understand what
I'm
saying? Now, either you are. Now, here's the catch. Here's the catch right here. Every man is the same. I keep hearing people say, a weak man, a strong man, a good man, a bad man. Either you're a man or you're not.
Yeah.
Now, here's the difference.
Yeah, that's
right. Here's what makes you a man. What makes you a man when you allow the Ruach or the Spirit of God to lead you in your actions, in your words, and where you go. That's what makes you a man.
And if you agree 100%.
Percy Sledge said, when a man loves one. Are y'all walking with me?
Yes. Are you walking
See,
with me?
If you love her, you're going to listen to her interests, her wishes, her desires, and you're going to try to respond accordingly. But if you don't love her now, see, some males, Pastor Waller, don't even love themselves, so it's impossible for them to love a woman because they don't know how to love themselves.
Yeah, I'm a witness.
But,
Go ahead.
I love myself. I love myself enough to do if what the woman want me to do is right, I'll do it. If what she want me to do is wrong, I would not do it. Because I mean, if it's wrong, my answer would be this: you look better going to prison, not me. Now, if it's within reason, family matters, or issues, or whatever. You need $100, I got it, you can have it. But if you want me to go outside the boundaries of God's laws, oh, you're in trouble. You're on your own. Bye-bye. You know, so I'm going to find another level.
Hey, Outcast.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I was back in the garden with Adam at the moment Eve offered him that fruit and I had to advise him, I would have told Adam, man, you got to love Eve enough to tell her, get in the house.
May I add this before we leave?
Yes,
I was thinking about Charles. I was thinking about Charles. And I was thinking about, you know, he's a younger guy. You know, we are much older than he is. And I was thinking about the book of Job. You remember Elihu? He was the youngest one in the crowd.
Yes, sir.
He was afraid to speak because they were much older and, you know, that they had more wisdom than he did. Had enough understanding of God to realize that wisdom and knowledge come from God. And he spoke.
Right.
But anyway, I cut that short. But thank you for speaking, Charles.
All right.
Nice being in your company, sir.
Go ahead. I think you're flowing now, man. Just you know, it's interesting. I mean, that's very big. I mean, if you go ahead.
I want to get back to Percy Sledge. He was talking about the topic. I want to get back to Percy Sledge, and I want to ask Charles this. Charles, now help me. I got 16 minutes, Charles. Help me out. Get me out of jail. I'm locked up, Charles. I'm locked up. If she tells me she wants something and it ain't good for her, Charles, what must I do? Charles, you there? All right, Pastor Waller, let me give it to you then.
Okay.
If she tells me she wants something and it ain't good for her, what do I do? What do I do, Pastor?
Man, that's very interesting right there, man. My goodness. What do you do? If you are the leader, and if you're holding your position.
Right, I love her too, man.
Huh?
I love her. Now, I want to make her happy.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this one time. I mean, I think that's the thing about the being captain. You don't take that one time, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, here we go again. One more time. You know, so according to what Brother Outcast is saying, you know what I mean, today, being aware, you know, you have to stand firm. And as you said about giving an instruction, if you've been given an instruction and you know that it's not right and it's not good for them, see, one is 2 minutes, because that'll cause it to be the second time and the third time. So I think it'd be more valuable, and I think they would appreciate it not to fall for it the first time.
There you go.
Not to say
if we
happen.
Don't start it, that's it, Pastor.
You don't,
something,
you don't worry, you don't have to worry about stopping.
There you go. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And good. When God called you to be the head of the household, He gave you the authority to make that call.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, go ahead, y'all. Go ahead.
Now, if y'all in a relationship and your woman is the preacher, who's in authority in the relationship?
Yeah, good question. Very good question.
Well, y'all, they make wrong decisions too, y'all. They make, you know, just because she's a prime minister, you know, a woman is a woman.
Hold on.
Let's
go ahead, Charles. Lay it out.
When I go to church, she's in authority. So how can she teach me it? I know the word says woman don't have authority over men. I know this, but I see women preaching. No, they run the church, but when you go home, you're supposed to be submissive to your husband. I don't get how that works.
Well, Charles, can I tell you the truth? Charles, I got my right hand up in the air. I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. All right? The Word of God says, you're absolutely right. It is out of order for a woman to have dictate or authority over a man, let alone her husband. Are you walking with me?
Mm. Go ahead.
Now, does that mean she doesn't have a vital place in humanity? Not at all. But it is out of order.
No.
It is out of order. Did I say out of order? What does order mean?
You did.
That means structure, the kingdom, the arrangement of the creator of the universe from the beginning. Look what the text said. Look what the text said in Genesis. Look how he described it, Genesis 27. He said, so God created man, right, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and what? Didn't say female and male. It's male and female.
Yeah, that's an order.
Are y'all walking with me?
Yeah, that's the order.
Can I share this with you, Charles? When Adam was created, Eve didn't exist. She could not know what God put in her. And when Eve was extracted out of Adam, he was unconscious.
Yes, he is.
So he couldn't understand everything God was doing. Right?
Uh-huh.
What both of them have to do is to go to God to get instruction how to deal with one another. That's where prayer comes in. Your prayer life, your communication, your dialogue with God guides you through even your marriage. I wish I had somebody to pray with me tonight.
Oh, cause it's like at home. I get it, because at the house, you being the man, but when she goes to church, she giving you the instructions.
Come on, now listen to what you're saying, brother. Did you just hear that? Yeah. When you're at home, it's one thing, but when you're on Front Street, is another. Is that what you're saying? Oh, man.
Now,
sounds like to me, man. That's confusing, there, brother.
Somebody's listening to me right now, and I want to be very clear. This ain't what doctor said. This is what thus said the word of truth. Now,
you got
a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You got a choice. Either you choose God this day, or you choose man and what man wants. That's your choice. It ain't my place to tell you what to choose.
Okay, so this one you're going to stay on, you take it four times a day for 10 days.
Okay, we got somebody else in the background.
Okay.
If your woman goes to the church, and you don't go to church, and she comes home trying to minister to you, she might leave you if you ain't, you see what I'm saying?
Well, so here's the thing, Charles. It's nothing wrong with a woman sharing with you what thus said the word of God. The problem comes when she assumes authority and dictates. See, that's out of order. It's just like it's out of order for children to tell their parents where to get off and get on. That's out of order.
Yeah.
Most definitely. For children to tell their parents how to get off and get on. That's amazing.
That's right.
That's out of order, though.
Now, remember what I read to y'all about Malachi, the fourth chapter the other night in the sixth verse? The problem is we don't have men in their proper place in the family structure. So everybody's off. Women off, children off. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing there, brother.
Here's the good news.
But can you tell today's society, most women want to be considered just on the same level as a man. They want to be preachers. They want to be everything. It's like they want to be so much. They don't want to, there's no room for a man to be a man because a woman wants equal rights to everything.
Sure.
Women can do whatever men do. A woman can do whatever men do.
Great point. And you know who I fault for that, Charles? I fault us as males for dropping the ball. And that's why it's important for us to get things back in the right order with God. But we're going to have to let our women know I love you. When I say get in the house, it's because there's trouble out there. I ain't trying to be ugly or mean. I'm just trying to protect you. That's my job, to be a covering over you, to be a protector and a provider. And if
how you
going to
cover me?
I pay out the rent.
I pay all the bills. I pay all the rent. They think they're in the third of positions because they got more money in the households in today's time.
That's not good.
Charles, you opened up Pandora's box now. Say that again, Charles.
That puts you in an authoritative position just because you make more money in the household.
No,
it doesn't. No, it does not.
Nope.
It does not.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Tell America.
Okay. She makes more money than you make, right? Okay. You know, my wife makes more money than I make. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, the money that I put in, it helps to continue doing what we need to do and get done. If I pull my money out, she'll have to struggle harder. Go and get another job. So even though she's making more money, my money is beneficial too. Do you not agree, Reverend Doctor, Charles, Reverend Waller?
I do. I agree with that. I mean, it's
you're
beneficial,
right,
brother.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead. Yeah, it's definitely, man. I mean, when you look at the situation and oneness, man, that's what you're talking about right there, Brother Outcast, and that means that it settled it right there. No matter which one is bringing forth the most, it still has order to it, you know,
right.
and that's what it's always been. That's what it should always be.
But
you
Pastor,
know,
yeah.
Outcast, consider this.
Yes, sir.
The focus is not the material wealth. The focus is what is the order and the structure. And again, I want to go back to what the basis of a marriage commitment is. It's a commitment
as
on
one,
part of
not two.
It's a Well, it's a commitment on part of the female, in this case, to the creator, that she's going to help and support the male in his function. But the male has to commit himself to God, that he's going to take care of that woman as well.
Exactly.
Are you walking with me?
Now, yes, sir, 100%.
The truth of the matter is that particularly for black men in America, after slavery, the whole seasoning process, according to Lerone Bennett, was that they broke up the male's role and function in the family so that his female counterpart would not trust him, would not look to him as a provider and a protector. That was the whole intention. And now we're at a day and time in 27. One second. Now we're in a day and time in 2017 where the whole focus is out of order now. Go ahead. Right quick, we got 5 minutes. Go ahead, Alka.
Basically, you know, I've heard that a lot. But all black families, husband and wives, did not break up. The ones that suffered most was the poor people, very poor people, uneducated people.
You had
a lot of well-to-do black people that stayed together because they could function in society and function to the fullest. That I never accepted. You know, you only have 5 minutes. I hope.
Yeah, I don't mean to suggest, sir, that was everybody, but the vast majority of individuals that were negatively affected, how they were affected in that way. That's the point I'm trying to make. Look at this. God, dog, man. Time
conversation get good. Time up.
Brother, man, I want to thank you. Charles, give me a final word before we get out of here, man. Golly.
God is good.
Word.
God is most definitely.
Charles, and guess what? He don't need my help to be good. All right. Outcast, give me something, man, I can hold on to until next too.
Hey, only thing I can say, the book of Job, Elihu. Hang in there, Charles. Don't go nowhere.
Amen. Pastor Waller, wrap us up, man. Then we're gonna have to get out of here. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Oh my man, that's amazing. But that's something we have to do, man. The time calls for it to take place. It's been interesting, brothers. I want to thank God for all of you, man, and for those who was listening. That there may be something that could generate power to understand. I'd like to leave with this note here. And you asked a question earlier, Pastor. You were saying, can a woman make a man do anything? And I would say, here, according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 15, it says here, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Yeah, I sound like some kind of power there, man. You know how you just loving the woman so much, get her everything that you think that she want and need, and all of a sudden you discover just because she make more than you, as the brother said, that you don't count for leadership anymore. Man, that would be terrible. The more you love her, the less you be loved by her. So I want the brothers to keep standing firm and realize money don't make true love. You know?
Amen.
Proverbs, I'm going to leave on this thought with you, Pastor. I'm going to be in agreement with you. Proverbs 31 and 10 asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Then it goes on to say that she will do her husband good and never evil. Where he'll never have to want before. This is talk straight. We're going to have to leave y'all, but I'm going to leave you with this. Meet us next Tuesday, 7:00 p.m. And we may have to do a little bit more of this, Charles, because y'all done got me all worked up here tonight, man. This is a great discussion.
I'll be ready.
Great discussion. Let's bring it back, and let's talk about it. www.bfcinstitute.com. Go there, learn about what we're doing, help us out so that we can get the word out and share with others. We'll leave with Percy Sledge. Let him tell you what a woman will make a man do. We'll see you next Tuesday, 7:00 p.m. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Thank you, Pastor Waller, Charles, and Outcast for joining us tonight. And we sign off with this.